Stay tuned for The Lynn Show. Today I'm airing an interview I did with actor, singer, dancer Melanie Souza, who is playing Abuela, the quintessential grandma, in a production of In the Heights at American Stage in the Park. And Melanie has an interesting and somewhat unique story to tell, a somewhat unique path on the way to this career, which she has embraced with her whole heart and which she is having terrific success in. So stay tuned. Here comes the show.
Hearing from an inner voice, finding choice where there's no choice, with gentle prodding from the voice. Oh, you really can. Deeper, deeper down from nowhere, sitting in my own soft lap, with all the time for us to chat, and my resources all on tap. Oh,
hello, and welcome to The Lynn Show. The Lynn Show is about being who you really are. That is, being all of who you really are. It may not come as a surprise to many of you that many of us are not being all of who we really are. Many of us have learned lessons in our childhood that told us that something about us, something about how we were or how we looked or what we thought or what we wanted to do was not okay. Something about us brought a consequence, a reaction, a response that we really didn't want. And most of us cannot survive childhoods in which we are not completely accepted. And so we did what human beings are capable of doing, and that is, first we figured out that this thing didn't work, then we learned how to hide it or camouflage it. And over time, we got so good at it that we forgot we had it. And so we come into childhood without parts of ourselves, with parts of ourselves hiding, you know, the technical term being in denial for. And so not only don't we have access to these parts of ourselves, but we feel like there's something wrong with us. We have the sense that there's something about us. We're not sure what it is, but whatever it is, it's not nice, or it's ugly, or it's dangerous, or it's embarrassing. And And so we feel about ourselves that we are somehow not nice or ugly or dangerous or embarrassing. And that colors everything that you can do. If you feel that basically you are flawed, well, I don't have to beat this. It's clear that if you feel like you are flawed, you are inhibited from taking certain kinds of risks or doing certain kinds of behaviors. And the end result of that is that people quite often stay in jobs they don't like, in marriages that aren't working, in relationships that are unpleasant. They stay in them and they don't know why. Well, I have written a book about this. It's called When You Can, You Will, Why You Can't Always Do What You Want to Do and What to Do About It. And in the book I talk about why we may be keeping ourselves from activities, behaviors, risks that we desperately want or even think we need to do. So if you're curious about the book, you can go up to my website, which is thelynshow.com, thelynshow. Don't leave the E out of Lynn. That is thelynshow.com. And up there, you can listen to me reading the first chapter of the book. You can order the book if you like. You can click on email me and ask me any questions that you have or make any comments. I'll be happy to hear from you. You can listen to all of the interviews that I have ever done, including the one I'm going to play in a few seconds. This interview is with Melanie Souza. And Melanie is a perfect example of what so few of us are able to do. You will hear Melanie say in this interview that there were two things that she wanted to be when she was a child, and she has done them both. This is a woman who got permission to be everything that she is, and so she has. And so this career, the artist career, the singer, dancer, actor career, is the one that she waited to pursue. And now she is pursuing it. And when you listen to Melanie, really you hear what it sounds like to be somebody who knows who she is and has been willing to take the risks, to do the work, to demonstrate in her life who she is. It's an unusual story in that most of the artists that I interview knew that they wanted to be artists very young and gave their life to it. Melanie knew that, and yet she took time out to do many other things and now is embracing the art which she always knew she wanted to be. So Melanie is currently part of the ensemble cast of In the Heights, as you will hear her say. She is playing the abuela, the quintessential grandma. And she has a solo. And in this show, I am airing two songs from In the Heights. And I'm going to play the first one right before the interview. This is the song which will be Melanie's solo. Paciencia y Fe, Patience and Faith. So I'm going to play Paciencia and Fe from the score of In the Heights. And following that, I'm going to play Melanie's interview. And at the close of the show, we're going to go out on another song from In the Heights. But here, Paciencia y Fe and Melanie Souza.
Ay, mama, the summer's hottest day. Paciencia y Fe. Paciencia y fe. Ay, carajo, it's hot. But that's okay. Mama would say, paciencia y fe. It's hotter at home in La Vibora, the Washington Heights of Havana, a crowded city of faces the same as mine. Back as a child in La Vibora, I chased the birds in the plaza, praying, mama, you would find work, combing the stars in the sky for some sort of sign. Ay, mama, so many stars in Cuba. In Nueva York, we can't see beyond our street lights. To reach reach the roof, you gotta bribe the super. Ain't no Cassiopeia in Washington Heights, but ain't no food in La Vibora. I remember nights, anger in the streets, hunger at the windows, women folding clothes, playing with my friends in the summer rain. Mama needs a job, mama says we're poor. One day you say, vamos a Nueva York. And Nueva York was far, but Nueva York had work, and so we came. And now I'm wide awake, a million years too late. I talk to you, imagining what you'd do, remembering what we went through. Early December, a crowded city in 1943. Learning the ropes in America, en español I remember. Dancing with Mayor La Guardia, all of society welcoming mommy and me. Sharing double beds, trying to catch a break, struggling with English. Listening to friends, finally got a job working as a maid. So we cleaned some homes, polishing with pride, scrubbing the whole of the Upper East Side. The days into weeks, the weeks into years, and here I stay. I buy my loaf of bread, continue with my day, and see you in my head, imagining what you'd say. The birds, they fly away, do they fly to La Vibora? All right, mama. Okay. Paciencia y fe.
Here with Melanie Souza, and Melanie is performing in the Heights at American Stage.
American Stage in the Park. It's at Damon's Landing in St. Pete.
I'm explaining to Melanie that I interview people who make their living or their life with an art. It's very clear that you make your life, your living, with the art of acting, singing, is that, I got that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So, I only ask one question, and it is, do you remember the very first moment in your life when singing or performing or entertaining was attractive, called you, seemed like a good idea, any of that?
Well, actually, I started off in dance.
Ah!
When I was three.
Three?
Yes.
And that's because you were whirling around the room and...
No. Actually, I was born with a heart condition.
Oh.
It all cleared up. It all had cleared up. And the doctor told my parents to get her into some form of activity, you know, just to strengthen.
Really?
Yeah. Back all those years ago, they still were, you know, they were kind of ahead of the curve, I guess, you know, right. Getting some exercise. And so my mother put me in dancing lessons. And that's really how it started.
Wow.
Yes.
And you were three.
I was three.
And did you like it?
I loved it. I stayed with the same dance teacher till I was 16.
Wow.
Yeah, so I did it for, I was 13, yeah, 13 years. 13, yeah, so 13, I had to count. 13 years.
And classical dance, ballet, tap, what?
Actually, my dance teacher was a prima ballerina. So that was our main focus. But once you, when you learn that ballet,
right,
it's really the basis for everything, all yeah, kinds of dance. And I did take tap and acro at the time, acrobats, and jazz, not so much. Not so much. I did that when I got older.
Okay.
And my dance teacher, she was something else. You know, now that she's passed, I see the value in her. When I was little, I was like, oh, you know, I don't want to, you know, sometimes you get through that, you go to that stage in your life, you're like, you don't want to do it anymore.
Right.
But actually, I found the value in it years later of what she had done for me. And she actually got, she's the one that got me singing.
So how did that happen?
As I got a little bit older, she started seeing, she was very good about, we actually had a piano player, which was wonderful. Mm-hmm. A lot of dance schools at the time were using either records,
mm-hmm,
and it was also when cassette tapes
mm-hmm
kind of came in, and they would use that, but we had a live piano player the whole mm-hmm time I was in dance school, which was great, and my dance teacher used a lot of Broadway tunes, and she found some character stuff for me. She started giving me stuff, you know, from like Gypsy.
To dance or to sing?
To sing.
Really?
To sing, yes.
And how
and also
you?
To dance, too, and sing to dance. I was about 12.
And she said, started, you should do this?
She just said, you know, I want to start you with this. You know, let's try this. And
did she do it with other students as well?
No, I was the only one that sang, actually. I was the only one that sang, which was kind of, yeah, now that I look back, I was one of the only ones.
Okay, so now, were you singing at home? Were you singing with the radio? Were you?
Actually, my aunt, my mother's sister is a professional singer.
Ah.
And it was mostly church stuff. You know, when you're younger, the folk masses started. And we used to sing with the folk mass. And in church choir, mm-hmm, you know, a little bit like that. But I really loved the theater part of it,
mm-hmm,
you know, that part of it. And then when I got in high school, I kind of got out of the dancing, but it really did set the groundwork for me for other things, you know, cheerleading and, you know, I taught aerobics, you know, when all that aerobic stuff came into play, jazzercise, you know, and all that through college and out of college. And I always stuck with it. I always did it in college and, I mean, in high school. Then I went to college.
Well, wait a minute, hold on. So she says to you, sing this, sing this, mm-hmm, and you sing this, and you sing this.
Mm-hmm.
And at any point there, are you thinking, gee, I really love this, or no, this is any of that?
Well, I did love it, but at the time, there was, it's not like today. The opportunities weren't as widespread.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't as easy. And I lived in Rhode Island, so I didn't live too far outside of New York.
Right.
But my parents, you know, my parents were quite protective. So they never really encouraged it past that.
Right. So another question. Was there drama class or speech class in school and all that?
In high school, we had, it was a choir. It was we had a good music program. I did, it was called the Choraliers, which was an all-female choir.
Mm-hmm.
We had other ones. We had a mixed male and female choir, and we had a male choir, but I was in the all-female choir. And I did a lot of solo work from that.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you take lessons?
No.
No.
I didn't take lessons until very further on.
And did you study an instrument?
No. Well, wait a minute, let me retry. I took guitar lessons for a month. And I just was not in that way. I was not coordinating that way. I could dance, I could sing, could not coordinate myself to play an instrument.
Okay.
And, but I did dance. I was in the musical in high school. We did My Fair Lady. We did, what was the other one? Camelot.
Uh-huh.
The other one. Mm. But I was in the dance, singing dance ensemble
right
at the time.
So you weren't acting?
Not at that time. No, because I was in cheerleading,
uh-huh,
that took a lot of time. So I couldn't really do a lot of that other
right
stuff at the time.
Right.
But I did enough to stay in it,
right,
you know.
Right.
And with the singing and everything. Then I went off to college, and then I got really involved in it.
Well, okay.
Really
when you went off to college, what did you major in?
It has nothing to do with this, Eva.
Yeah.
I started off in elementary ed speech corrections.
Really? So, even with all the exposure, even with all of what you did and what you were doing, mm-hmm. you were not considering this a career?
No.
That's really interesting. And so you were doing this other thing, which somehow you decided you could do for a living, I guess, right? Or, I don't know, how did you arrive at...
Well, after I got out of college, I started to get involved in it pretty much in college, and I took courses because I loved it, and I did...
Right.
I always kept my hands in it.
Right, but it was fun.
It was fun. Right. It was part of my curriculum. You know, I took it as classes for electives and things
like
that.
Right, right, right.
I always took the theater electives. And I actually ended up changing my major, but it was not in... We didn't have a theater program. We had a nice theater and some theater classes, but we didn't have a major.
Right.
A theater major. When I got out of college, I worked a year, and then I actually went to hairdressing school.
Oh, you're very...
I know. I'm eclectic, I know.
Yes. Yeah, right.
But here's where it really kind of started. After I got out of hairdressing school, and I was in the salon, I opened a salon pretty much right out of hairdressing school, and then I really started to miss the performing.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did when I was a kid, I always wanted to be one of two things, a hairdresser or a performer. I don't know how the two correlate, but I wanted to be one or the other,
uh-huh.
or both.
Okay.
And that's what happened. After I got my hairdressing license, I started to work for a company as an educator, and I moved up the ladder in that. And we did national shows, and I became a master platform educator. So, and what we had to do with that, we had to choreograph shows, we had costumes, we did wigs, we did all kinds of things. So it satisfied my hairdressing and my performing.
Wow, amazing.
For a while.
Right.
And I traveled all over the United States.
Oh, my God.
Doing big shows in California and New York and up into Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did smaller things in different parts. They used to send me more to the Midwest. Send me more. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a girl from Rhode Island with this heavy Rhode Island accent, they sent me to the Midwest, I guess. I don't know. It was kind of fun. But, so I did that for about 8 years.
Mm.
I traveled a lot and did that. So when I finished, the company sold and I left. And I was still in the salon. Then I started to do more theater. I started to get back into...
So are you still theater. In Rhode Island?
I'm still in Rhode Island at this time.
And you're doing...
Just local theater because I was in the salon.
Like community theater or...
At the time it was community theater.
Right.
Just to kind of...
Right.
Keep my hand in it, get back into it.
Yeah, I want to stop you for a second. Mm-hmm. You remember as a child thinking I want to be a hairdresser or a performer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the desire to be a performer, where that came from or who you talked to about that or what it looked like to you?
You know, going back to my dance teacher,
right?
She took a real interest in me, and she pushed me.
Ah.
And so that made me like it because she put me out in front. She put me in the spotlight. I had a lot of solos. Then she started with the singing and the character acting while you're singing type of thing. So I really did love it.
Yeah.
I really did like performing. And I never really stopped performing, from dancing school to cheerleading to teaching group exercise.
Right.
So everything
I've
done, it's all performing. And also when I was in hairdressing, I wasn't satisfied just sitting behind the chair. I needed to get out and perform. And I put teaching in with that. So
yeah.
I didn't teach students. I taught professionals.
Mm.
So it was a different level.
Yes.
And I was... out in front. You know, I was always out in front. I always pushed to be out in front. And it was just because she had always pushed me out in front. That was where I was comfortable, and that's where I was used to being.
Well,
not in the background.
And
you know?
she told you you were good. She
right.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, right. Okay, fine. So,
not
fast
confusing.
Forward. No, I'm not confused. No, it makes perfect sense. So fast forward now, the education company is folded.
Yep.
You're still in the salon,
mm-hmm.
but the impulse to perform has resurrected itself, and you're
yes.
doing community theater.
Mm-hmm.
So, what happened?
Well, as I started to do more community theater, I'm like, you know, I really want to get back into dancing. There was a 20-year stretch where
right.
I didn't take dancing lessons.
Right.
And I went back 20 years later.
Wow.
So I left when I was 16. I went back 20 years later, and here I started dancing. I found it. In Providence, there's a woman, and she's still there, and she still teaches. She's amazing. Tap. I wanted to take tap because I didn't do a ton of tap when I was younger.
Right.
And I saw that's really, if I was going to do anything
in theater,
that's pretty much that's what I was going to do. Getting older, you know, being more, getting into a different age category. I wasn't going to really be in the ensemble dancing, but I may get a lead
or
a secondary
or a character act. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
That
right.
has to tap.
Right. Right.
Even now, today, I still may have to do
right.
that at
that's
some
right.
point. So I went back, and she just taught adults, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go a couple times a week, you know, for a long time. And actually, when I go back up to Rhode Island, I still go and see her, and I still take classes in the summer.
Wow.
If I'm not doing a show in the summer,
mm-hmm.
I will go take classes with her. And she's an amazing tap teacher. But it's all a group of adults.
Mm-hmm.
Down here, I had more difficult time finding an adult tap class. I did some tap classes with high school kids, but you know, high school kids learn faster than as you get older. I mean, you show them once and they can do it. It would take maybe three times to do it, you know, or you know, until the next week when I practiced at home or something. So that was a little, it wasn't fun.
Right.
It was challenging.
Right.
So I stuck with it, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that camaraderie.
Of the adults,
together. So I got back into that, so that helped me. Then I found a voice coach. Then I started to, I wanted to start getting into auditioning for more professional theater.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, so you're still working in the salon.
Still working in the salon.
Right, and now what's happening is that your feeling about what you want to do is growing. The idea that you want to do more theater, that you want to, right? And so you're studying.
So I'm, exactly.
Right.
Because I didn't get my degree in, I was making my own class courses.
Right.
You know, I was taking
And
I said I need to take acting lessons. You know, I took some, Trinity Rep is up in Rhode Island,
mm-hmm.
a repertory theater, which is a really well-known repertory theater in the country. And they would offer classes, and I would go take classes with them. I went to Rhode Island College and took even more advanced dance courses. And without getting a degree, it was just like a pass
thing.
I didn't want to.
But you didn't need to.
I didn't need to be taking history. I didn't want to know that kind of thing. I just wanted the practical work.
Right.
That's what I needed.
Right.
And
they had it out there.
They did.
They had everything that you needed. You just had to put it together.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And I put it together what I felt I needed and what I saw doing shows, what I needed to advance on and what I needed to, you know, get better at.
Right.
Where I was lacking maybe a little bit because I hadn't really done at that point, for that period of time, a lot of performing in plays and musicals.
Right.
I was in a cabaret group, but that was, you just sang, you know, you did perform, but it wasn't acting all, you know, saying lines and script and stuff like that. So I started doing my own kind of curriculum.
Right.
I guess,
so
to speak. And I, you know, I started with a voice teacher. I was with her for a while. I saw that I wasn't progressing anymore with her, and I found somebody else. So I had gotten to a couple of different teachers, and then I found one I really liked out in Connecticut. I used to drive to Connecticut once a week from Rhode Island. It was about an hour drive.
Wow.
I would go see her. And then I started coming down to Florida.
Why?
We retired. My husband, we had sold our businesses. I owned the salon.
So you're still doing the salon?
At the time.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
At the time. But I had cut down my hours. And so I would have more time to do this. So then we got to a point, my husband wanted to sold his business. He was in printing. He sold his printing company. And I said, give me 6 weeks so I can get out of the salon.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was on a six-week rotation with my clients. And we retired and started coming out of Florida.
And you found Sarasota?
No, we had always been vacationing down here.
Ah, oh, okay.
Yeah,
so you already knew it and you knew that you wanted to come here, right? Okay, so
mm-hmm.
then you retired?
We retired from our first
Right.
I've had three different careers. You know, I've had three careers. You know, this is my third career.
Right.
My first was the salon. My second, we did open another business.
Mm-hmm.
It was in relation to beauty. It was, we sold skincare
mm-hmm.
To professionals, you know, to salons, estheticians.
Right.
So I did that, which was kind of in the same business, but it was just a different part of that business. And then when we got toward the end of that, I decided I wanted to do
What you theater, always apparently
what I always wanted
to do.
Kind of was leading up to that.
Yeah.
And I think that was the perfect time for me to do it because of my look, my stature, my, you know, my vocal type. And, you know, I know as a character actress, I probably wouldn't have worked as much mm-hmm. as a younger person. But as an older, you know, as a more middle-aged person, I
There are a lot of roles for women at that, right?
There is, and if people say there is.
Right.
For my type, you know, you have to find them. And,
right.
You know, I don't just stay in Sarasota, in Florida, to mm-hmm. get my work either.
Well, okay, let's back up. Okay.
All right,
so
yeah,
you
I'm
moved
getting
down.
Ahead of
ourselves. So you moved to Florida.
Right. We, you know, after going back and forth, we ended up moving. We flipped. We had a condo here and a house in Rhode Island, and then we flipped it. So we have a house here and a condo in Rhode Island. So I was able to go back up there and audition either in Rhode Island, in Boston, in New York, in Connecticut.
Wow. Okay. So you really, you said, okay, I'm going to give this the same amount of energy that I gave to the earlier careers.
Exactly.
I'm going to take this seriously. This is now my work.
This is my work.
Okay. So so how did you pursue it?
So when we were here, when I started here, I said, I really want to work toward my equity card.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that was my goal.
Right.
That was my end goal. But I felt I needed to beef up my resume.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I'm going to join the EMC program, Equity Membership Candidate Program. There's a couple of ways you can get your equity card, and that's one of them. That's the way I chose. What that means is you need to work 50 weeks in an equity theater that has the EMC program. Not every professional theater has it. So
50 weeks
50
in a
weeks.
Given year or?
No, just 50 weeks.
50 weeks. So you just keep doing it until you get 50 weeks.
Exactly.
I see.
So, but in that time, I did some theaters. I did shows at theaters that had the EMC program, and I did some professional non-equity theaters, and I did some community theaters.
Right, right. You did.
But, so
right.
I could build my resume.
Right.
And it took me 6 years.
Wow.
Which was fine.
Yeah,
which
right.
Fine.
I understand.
I didn't care.
No, because
I didn't care.
For one thing, you're doing the work. Right?
Exactly.
Right. And
I'm
for
learning,
another,
and
you're building
voice.
The thing, and every once in a while you're doing an equity thing, and it's adding, and in the meanwhile, maybe you're making a little
exactly.
money, but you're getting a new, it's more on your resume. Yeah, it's perfect.
Exactly.
Right.
So I knew that was the best for me.
Yeah, right.
And that's the program I did. And so it took me 6 years, and I had my 50 weeks, and so when you have your 50 weeks, you have to decide, do you take your card, or you have to, if you get cast in another equity show,
right?
They have to give you a contract, or
right.
You can't just not take it. You
right.
know what I mean? Because you have it 50 weeks. And so I said, well, I'll audition, and I'm not going to just go and join.
Right.
I could have just gone down to
right,
equity
right,
and
right,
in
right.
New York and
right. But
am
I? But now, if you had joined,
mm-hmm.
and then you were equity, then you can't work for a non-equity play. That's the problem with the card, right? Is
not a problem. It's just that's how it is. You can't do community theater,
right?
Unless you get a contract with them, and some of them
some
will.
Some of them will.
Some of them will give
more
you a contract.
And more. They will.
Yeah,
right.
I have done that. I've
right.
gotten a contract with a community theater.
Right, but it minimizes the places you can work, doesn't it?
Yes. You can only do professional theater. You can only do an equity house or a non-equity house, and some of the non-equity houses have guest contracts.
Right, right.
They'll have like one
right,
or two.
Right, right.
And a community theater, you can't just go in and do it. You have to get a contract
right,
with them.
Right, right.
And they'll only give you a contract if they need your type.
If they need
type.
You. Right,
if they need
right.
me.
They need
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Right.
That's what happened when
and,
I got it. They
right,
needed
right.
my
right.
Character. So, but, and so I said, I don't know if I'm going to take it. Let me see. We'll see if I'll take it.
Right.
And I auditioned when I was... I was doing 9 to 5 up at Theater by the Sea in mm-hmm. Rhode Island, and that gave me my 50 weeks.
Also, it's expensive to take it.
Yes.
Right. So that's the other
thing
to think about, right?
But they give you a couple of years to pay it off.
Ah.
You don't have to pay it off right up front. So I needed like 2 more weeks. So I took this job and I got my 2 more weeks. Actually, I was an overachiever. I ended up getting 4 extra weeks. So I had 54 weeks. So in that case, my next job, I had to have a equity contract if it was an equity theater.
Right.
So I had auditioned while I was doing this show and I got a call and they offered me the job and they offered me my card.
Ah,
a contract.
Right,
so
right.
I hadn't planned on taking it that quick. I said, well, let me just, I'll
yeah,
whenever
yeah,
it comes,
right,
it comes.
Right,
you know,
right,
I wasn't
right,
that much
right,
in a hurry.
Right.
It came and I had to take it.
Yeah, okay, right.
It tells me I have to take it. This is my sign. I have to take it.
Right.
So, and then it went from there, you know, and it's getting better and better, you know. I wouldn't have taken it if I was only going to stay in Florida. Because, I mean, it limits you. Florida is big. There's a lot in Florida, in the state of Florida.
Right.
In Sarasota, it's more limited, you know, if you stay in one little area.
Right.
But I knew I would be able to go up to Rhode Island and go into New York and go into Connecticut and Massachusetts.
And you're happy to do that.
I'm more than happy, and I have a wonderful, supportive husband who's like,
go.
Why?
Right.
He's actually the one that really kind of gave me that extra push to even try to get it. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want to do it. I'm like, what? Do it. I'm like, okay. You know, you're like, oh, should I do it? Should I not?
Yeah.
And so he was supportive in that way, in fly little bird type of thing. And so I do. I do go back and forth a lot. And I had done a lot in Sarasota, but I hadn't done a lot like in the St. Pete and the Tampa area, which is pretty local still.
I am still considered a local. Well, and it's driving distance.
That's what they consider local. They don't have to give you housing that you can drive back and forth. So I just started, like last summer, really trying to get into more stuff around here and getting people to know me. I did a few things so people would get to see what I could do, and which led to getting In the Heights.
Exactly.
In the Heights. So.
Right. And American Stage is a wonderful theater.
I did a show at American Stage. They had an older theater. They're in their new theater now.
Yeah.
In their older theater, I did Suddenly Last Summer. I played the nurse. She looked like a nun. But I played her, and so I had experience with them, but not in the park.
Yeah.
I had never done the musical there.
Right.
So this is my first musical with them.
And we should tell them when it opens.
Previews are April 22nd and 23rd. Mm-hmm. It opens on the 24th, Friday, April 24th. And it runs Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday evenings till May 17th.
Perfect.
My character that I'm playing actually has a solo.
Oh, yeah.
I'm playing Abuela Claudia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's the grandmother.
Yes, right.
And she's not anybody's particular grandma. She just represents
grandmas.
Exactly.
Right.
Abuelas all over the world.
Okay. You want to tell me a little bit about the play?
Yes. In the Heights, it's a wonderful. I saw it on Broadway. It won 2008, I believe it was. They won the Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great, great story. It just happens to take place in Washington Heights. In New York City, but it's about love, it's about struggle, you know, there's all little stories going on, and they're all about love and struggle and, you know, strength and things like that, and it happens to be about the Hispanic community, the Latino community, but when I saw it, it could be any community. It's a universal theme. Mm-hmm. It truly is. I had seen a friend of mine who's from Massachusetts. We had been talking about the show. I told him I went to see it, and he said, I saw it too. And I said, I cried. He said, I did too. And I said, it could be any family. He said, that's the same thing he thought. His family was from Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
His parents immigrated over here, and he was born here, but he said, it reminded me of my family, because it's all the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was all the same struggles. It was, you know, coming here, making sure your children get a good education, the parents working hard for that. And same thing with my family. I saw a lot of, you know, struggles that my parents and went through. My parents were born here, but my grandparents weren't, you know. So, but I see what they did, worked really hard, and, you know, did whatever they could to get the best for their children. And that's what it is, and taking care of each other and respect for each other, and it's just a really nice story.
That's lovely.
Yeah, and the music is really fun. The music, there's a little bit of music, different kind of music for everybody. Has some rap in it, and it has some and it has just some beautiful ballads in it, and then it has a lot of upbeat dancing type of music. So it has a little bit for everybody.
Does Abuela need to dance?
Well, she does her own little dance. Abuela's, she's old and fragile, and it's hot out, and so So she does her own little, you know, dance in the corner. But
all right, good.
But, yeah. So and the cast is just amazing. Three of the cast members have done it before. Two in Miami, mm-hmm. and one up in Pennsylvania. He did up in Pennsylvania. It's not done a lot, as much as I think it should, because it's a great story. I don't know why. I think people are maybe afraid to cast. I don't know why. I don't know why they don't do it a lot, because it's such, it's really, and the music's really difficult. I went in and I was like, whoa. But it's, the cast is so upbeat. Yeah. Well, the music makes you so, so happy.
You know? Who's the musical director?
J.B. Kavanaugh.
Ah, yeah.
He's, he does a lot. He's their new resident music director at American Stage.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. So, and he's wonderful. I that's the first time I have met him. I guess this is only his first year, I believe.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, a lot of people changing hands at American Stage
yes,
at the moment.
Yes.
Right?
But it's, you know, it's seamless. You don't notice.
Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. It's so well established.
It is.
Right, right.
It is.
So, okay. I ask another question, and it's interesting because so many of the artists that I interview decided at 2 or 4 or 8 that this was what they were going to do, and they've done it for a lifetime. I usually frame the question, having given a life to this work, what would you say about it? But what's interesting about you is that you have given a life to this work in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
It has always been in your life, even though you haven't given your life to it until fairly recently in your life, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, as someone who has essentially dabbled in it, played with it, toyed with it, danced around it, and then finally been able to find a way to give your life to it, what would you say that's like?
That's a good question. I think I'm fulfilled. You know,
uh-huh.
Now I've done everything since I was a little girl, what I said I wanted to do. I wanted to be a hairdresser and an entertainer. So now I've done it.
Yes.
You know, and I can say that I did it, I guess. You know, it's a good feeling. I feel like I'm home.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yeah. I hear that a lot. From people who are able, as you are,
mm-hmm.
to give their life to it, right? So what I hear you saying is that this is who you always were,
mm-hmm.
and now you get to be her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had two other wonderful careers
mm-hmm.
that were things I loved also. So I'm so lucky to be able to do something I love.
Always.
I have always been able to do something I love.
Okay.
This is just another chapter in my life,
yes.
of something I love to do.
Yes, yes. So what I hear is that somehow you got permission to do what you love, to be who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but I think it was the right time to do this. Like it was, if, younger I did as much of it as I wanted to do or could do at the time,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm at the right place and the right age,
yes.
right place in my life and the right age in my life to be doing it professionally full time.
Yeah, yeah, but I didn't only mean that. I meant that all along you were doing things that felt good to you
yes.
that you wanted to do. So
yes.
you got permission early on in your life to honor
yeah.
Melanie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where that comes from? You know that not everybody has that?
Yeah. I don't know, you know, as protective as my parents were, they did let me fly, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
And then my husband,
yeah.
You know, he never said, don't do that. You know, he never stifled me. He's always encouraged, and we've always encouraged each other, actually,
yeah.
to do what our passion is.
Yeah.
So it's great to have a team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But my husband and I are a team,
right.
and you know, we support each other and encourage each other to be who we need to be.
Yeah, but see, what I hear is that you found somebody who did that. Not everybody makes that choice.
Right.
So for me, what I hear is that very early on in your life, you, I'll just keep using the same language, you felt that you were entitled to be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
The dance teacher.
I was going to say that. My dance teacher encouraged me to be who I am and to help me develop who I am, I was going to be. And my parents were always supportive.
Well, they weren't.
And even today, they come to all my shows. And anyone that can, they're going to be coming down from Rhode Island to see this show.
Oh, lovely.
And they try to... There's very few they've missed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just because it was something they just couldn't come for whatever reason, but they've really tried to come to everything they can. And then from my parents, you know, my husband's always been supportive and let me do what I need to do and be who I need to be. Yeah, so I've been very fortunate.
Yeah, I think it's more than fortune. I mean, I think you were lucky with your parents and you were lucky with the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But once they gave you that, you ran with it.
Yeah. And then also Carlo. He's super encouraging too. I mean,
she's talking about her voice.
My voice teacher.
right.
Yeah, he's also been a big, big supporter, and really helped me prepare for a lot of things. You know, prepare for a lot of auditions and shows. We work together, and you know, once I get the show, or he'll help me with the audition pieces. But once I get the show, then we'll work together, and because he's been on Broadway. I mean, he's done opera all over the world, and you know, we can bounce things off each other, and you know, try things.
Right.
You know,
so he'll help you. You won't just do the music from the show with him, but you'll talk about the
character.
The character.
Because most of the time, the characters I play are really fairly broad, big and broad.
Right.
You know, so, you know, we play with different things, because he's got some ideas from, you know, from some very famous entertainers from years gone by.
Right.
And then, you know, with my age of people, I've, you know, grown up with, you know, on television or in the
movies, or entertainers.
And we come together and we usually come up with three different ideas, and then, you know, we make one, and then I bring it into rehearsal, and then it gets tweaked from there.
Yeah,
you know,
and then
the director will, you know, either tweak it, or if they like it, you know, they'll say keep it in or take it out. So, you know, they're also instrumental in forming a character.
No,
but you got to go in with something.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it was always hard. You can bring someone back, like, you know, you can bring them down.
Right.
I don't want to say bring them down, but if they're going way out, big, you can bring them back a little bit, but you can't, it's harder to get someone to make it bigger.
Yes.
It's much more difficult. So you got to go in, like, full force, a tornado, and then they'll bring you back to where you need to be. You know what I mean? It's easier to do that than to say, go, and, you know.
Right. No, I think that's exactly
right. Yeah, you have to have it in you, and... So we work on it. It's fun. It's fun, and we get to play around. And he gives me ideas that people I wouldn't know.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
I might not know anything about. And so he'll imitate it, and then I'll, you know, and then we come up with something. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of
fun. But yet again, you found another advocate.
I did.
Yeah. It's lovely. It's really lovely. Okay, so come out and see Abuela Melanie in the Heights. At American Stage, and thank you very much, Melanie. This
was
great.
Thank you.
So, how many people can say what Melanie Sousa says? These are the things I wanted to be when I was a child, and I have been them all. I have lived all of my dreams. I have done everything that I wanted to do, and now I am doing another of the things that I wanted to do, and am having the time of my life. How many people can say that? Can you say that? Can you say, I am living the life that I wished I could live, dreamt about living, wanted to live, that I'm doing with my days what I wanted to do, that I am being the person I hoped to be? Or are you, what is much more common, wishing that you had done something differently, that you were something different, wishing that you were more outgoing, or that when people asked you your opinion, you didn't become tongue-tied, or that you could stand up for yourself in situations where you thought you were being treated not as well as you would want? Are there things about you that you wish were different? Well, Melanie was really lucky. Melanie got very early in life a terrific amount of encouragement and support, and it went right on. And I believe that when you get that kind of support, you are also drawn to people who are supportive. And when you don't get support, you find yourself being drawn to people who are not supportive. That our early life so much dictates what we do, what we believe is possible for us, and therefore what we get. So if you're listening to Melanie and thinking, lucky Melanie, she had all these advocates in her life, and you didn't, it's not too late to recover what you might have had to lose, what you might have had to leave behind. And of course, psychotherapy is one of the ways to do that. So if you are thinking that you might like to recover yourself, discover yourself, be all of yourself, please think about looking into that. And as I said earlier, if you want to ask me any questions or make any comments or get me to come and talk to your group or organization, you can find me at my website, thelynneshow.com, thelynneshow. So as always, I hope that you got something from this show that you can use, something that intrigued you, something that stimulated or inspired you. Because as always, I will be back next week, same time, same station. And as always, I sure hope you will be too. And as I said, we're going to go out on another song from In the Heights. So here it is.
In this album, there's a picture of the ladies at Daniela's. You can tell it's from the 80s by the volume of their hair. There's Usnavi, just a baby, 87, Halloween. If it happened on this block, Abuela was there. Every afternoon I came, she'd make sure I did my homework. She could barely write her name, but even so, she would stare at the paper and tell me, "Bueno, let's review. Why don't you tell me everything you know?" In this album, there's a picture of Abuela in Havana. She is holding a rag doll, unsmiling, black and white. I wonder what she's thinking. Does she know that she'll be leaving for the city on a cold, dark night? And on the day they ran, did she dream of endless summer? Did her mother have a plan? Or did they just go? Did somebody sit her down and say, "Claudia, get ready to leave behind everything you know"? Graduation with the program mint condition and a star beside my name. Here's a picture of my parents as I left for California. She saved everything we gave her, every little scrap of paper, and our lives are in these boxes, while the woman who held us
getting older. My hair is turning gray. Oh, you say my face and figure have both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring. I won't slip out of sight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. No, I won't. That I have had my shot. My time has come and gone. Oh, won't I please get off the stage? Let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated or leave without a fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a bell I keep on ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly. Well, I don't give a dang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Rising from the ashes, every chance I get. I may be running out of time, but it ain't over yet. 'Cause me and Sister Phoenix, we won't give up the flight. No, no, we will not go gentle into that good night. And I won't go with a whimper. I'm going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I may not be as juicy, hell, but I still got some tang. So you won't hear me simper. I may have gotten